I think the body is a huge part of, it's a huge tool for you in the game. If you can't move properly and you can't activate your muscle groups in the right sequences, you're just really not going to play your best.
Yeah.
I think that's the most powerful thing we do is actually the assessment. It's going to be probably the most comprehensive physical, like a musculoskeletal physical that you'll ever have in your life.
Yeah.
Because we're literally, like Jeff said, looking at flexibility, mobility, strength, functional body control and power and speed through your whole body.
Swing mechanics don't matter. Equipment doesn't matter if your body's in pain and you can't even do it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And the earlier you invest in your body, the longer you get benefits longer term. A little of something adds up over time.
We just want to help as many golfers as we can, play the best they can, and be the healthiest they can feel. And
there is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
This is our, I think, first time that we've ever traveled to do a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. That's actually a good point. I was thinking about that. Was this, Jordan set everything up tonight. I was a little late, but was it like burdensome getting all that stuff over here?
No, it was actually pretty easy. Was I feel like we could bring it up to the Murphy fairly
Do you
fairly
think we
easy.
Could fly with that rig?
I think if we bought a case, we could put it in the case and fly with it, yeah.
Well, we would need a case.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not going to carry it on. That's what you're asking. Just carry it on the plane.
Why not?
Yeah.
Rucksack.
Then it might be difficult, yeah. But we're at Empower. Do we call it, would it be like golf training facility and gym, or gym and golf training facility?
Well, that's definitely a debate that we have here at work, because we're a physical therapist and golf trainer. So we get clients on both ends of the spectrum, and some people come in for golf fitness and some people come in for their recovering from golf injuries.
Mm.
So we play around with the Empower Golf Fitness and Empower Golf Physical Therapy.
Wow. So you guys are still like us trying to figure out your brand identity?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We get that. We understand it. It would be good just to, you and I went to college together, small world. And then out at Winsong last year, I know you guys typically do a table, right? Yep. For like chiropractic and stretching stuff for big events.
Yep.
Think, what, club championship?
Member.
Usually guest day.
Oh, are you scheduled to be out there Wednesday?
Haven't talked to Luke yet about that.
Ooh, well, it's supposed to be Wednesday, but okay. we're going to get rained on. So
yeah.
They said we might not have guest day, unfortunately.
Usually a spring one, fall one.
Yeah. And then you guys, do you do any other clubs as
Yeah,
well?
We float around. We do, what do we do? Minnesota.
So we're
Valley.
Not just special at Winsong.
Very special at Winsong. Yeah.
Special in our heart.
Yeah. All right, we'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little background from you guys on kind of the facility, what you guys do would be great, and we'll dig into, you know, Andy and I obviously came in and did like a assessment, and clearly both of us are very into health and fitness.
Elite athletes.
Yeah, elite athletes. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but it would be great to, you know, hear the background on the gym. Obviously there's some great players, Rocco, Van Royen, I think, is up there, even though I can't see his, you know, a lot of people have come through this gym, including Andy and I. So
yeah, well, and you guys are at the top of the list, right?
Are we?
Obviously.
Well, I guess, yeah, we got our own setup here now. So
bringing your own crew.
Maybe we'll just leave it here. Let's turn it into a studio. You guys can rent it out.
We have the poster already printed of you two when you guys make the tour.
It's kind of like a mini version of, you know, all the podcast guys getting sponsored by TaylorMade and Callaway. Totally. Like, you walk through TaylorMade, you see all the Barstool guys. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You walk through here, you see Andy and I. Yeah, got a poster up there.
That's right. So we're going to have a little whiteboard on the bottom so we can change the tour as you get better each year.
Yeah. I am debating going pro, actually. We've talked about this. Andy,
why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Jeremiah Hills. I started Empower, man, probably about 16 years ago. I was working with another golf fitness company that essentially went out of business, and it was with that company that got introduced into golf fitness as a physical therapist. And that company was like way ahead of its time, and it needed to be something more than it was, but golfers at the time weren't super into fitness, and it just didn't really work. And then I went off on my own and worked at Interlochen for a while, and I rented space in another gym and was doing a lot of golf fitness and golf rehab work all by myself. And during the pandemic, those two places shut down, and I needed a place to to work and work with my clients and support my family. And I decided to just take the leap and build my dream space. So with the help of some friends and along the way, I met Jeff through that journey. I think when Jeff walked in, this was just a shell.
Yeah, turf wasn't even in the ground yet.
Yeah, it was super. It was a super exciting time for me, a super stressful time. It was just very exciting, and here we are today, almost three years later, just doing some great work, helping people every day, trying to play golf better and live healthier lives.
Love that. And then how did you? So you and I went to college together. I know you went for, was it chiropractic?
Athletic training.
Athletic training.
Undergrad at Winona was athletic training. So I tell people that's
Harvard in the Midwest.
Yes.
If anybody out there is wondering.
Right. So that's the people that if someone gets hurt on the sports field, they run out and take care of the athletes. And they're usually with a team. And then after undergrad, I went and got my doctorate in physical therapy at the University of South Florida. And then after I finished that, I just got into outpatient ortho PT, but I got away from sports. And then I also got the golf bug once I quit baseball at 18. And I just want to get around sports again. And I love golf because I was a golfer. So I just combined the two. And an old coworker of mine from a previous job connected me with Jeremiah. Yep. And was telling me he was looking for some people and came on over. And he, instead of building the space myself, he already was building the place I wanted. So we just joined forces.
Yeah, and I really got this idea from my work with Golf Australia. So years ago, I worked for the Gophers, and the head coach at the Gophers was Brad James. Brad left the Gophers to go back to Australia and work for Golf Australia. So I went and started working with the Australian program when they're here in the U.S., and then I was invited to Melbourne to work with the golf team there. And they actually have a gym on a driving range, and it just got my mind moving in that direction. And this space is essentially modeled after a space that I worked at there.
Mm. This is an awesome space, yeah. By the way. We'll definitely have to get some images of all of it because we're only going to be able to see a little bit behind us. But
so yeah. What would you guys, so that's like really interesting. I would say our audience is like mainly Jordan and I, like our story a little bit with like starting the podcast was we're both golf psychos, right?
Right.
And I listen to like every golf podcast available, you know, like love like No Laying Up and all the golf podcasts, but really had never found anything that was like geared towards like me as a golfer, which was interesting, right? A lot of the stuff out there was very oriented around the PGA Tour or oriented around like even, you know, like elite AMs or whatever, but like as a club golfer, like there wasn't a lot of, and so like that's kind of our audience is like, you know, club golfers or people that aspire to be at a club or people that, you know, even play a regular game at their local muni. One question that I have is like, you know, as people think about getting better at golf, because I think those two things kind of go hand in hand, people that play golf and people wanting to get better at golf. It's like kind of the same thing, right? Like, because that's the obsession that at least like everybody seems to have is like, it's one of the only games where like you can actually see your score, like you can see your score come down, you know, you get that feedback like right away. What do you think, like, if there's a pie chart, right, of like things to do to get better at golf or to, you know, improve my relationship with golf or improve like how much I enjoy golf. And it's like instruction, swing instruction is one. And, you know, equipment is like another. Totally. And like physical health is like a category. Like how important is it? And what are your thoughts on, it seems like in our niche, right? Like certainly professionally, like these guys, they no longer smoke cigarettes and neglect this stuff, right?
Right.
They're all like on a program. Everybody has a physio, like, but I think more our audience is like still immature in this journey of like physical health and your body. I know I am, like I've invested tens of thousands of hundreds of hours in my swing, in my equipment and zero in my body. So talk to me about the ROI here, like the potential ROI here. I'm really interested in it.
The ROI is huge. I mean, ultimately, most of our clients are guys like us.
Mm-hmm.
Got day jobs, working hard, golf psychos.
I mean,
you don't build a golf gym if you're not a golf psycho.
Yeah.
And most of our clients are that way. And they're not physical specimens. I mean, we're joking around about that at the beginning of the podcast, but they're really not. And I think the body is a huge part. It's a huge tool for you in the game. If you can't move properly, and you can't activate your muscle groups in the right sequences, you're just really not going to play your best.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and then we get into, so when Andy and I came in and did the assessment, I would say a lot of the moves and the stuff that we did, and it would be great if you guys could just talk through what you do when you do these typical assessments, because I know we're going to have some people going to want to come in and figure right. it out. But like a lot of the moves and things that we did were movements I have either never done in my life or I feel like I didn't do since like high school sports, right? Like it's not the typical stuff that you see people doing in a gym. You know, one of the examples was laying on our backs, grabbing the medicine ball and like throwing it over our head mm-hmm, as right. far as we can, right? Yeah. Like what is that assessment like and how does it translate for you all and your jobs to figure out what this golfer athlete in front of you really needs to work on?
Yeah. I kind of compare it to like a car mechanic. Is you have to do an assessment beginning to figure out what the problem is first. And so we have a very comprehensive evaluation and we have two of them. So back to your point, we have one that's more for the recreational golfer. It's mm-hmm. a little shorter. It's not as in depth. And then we also have a high performance one for the collegiate pros, high school golfers that we can run through based on what they want. And then based on it's over 100 something tests for each of them. And we're looking at flexibility, mobility, strength, the med ball throws, that's looking at power, different areas of the body, the power. So there's just, and it's just golf. There's so many requirements that are needed in a golf swing that mm-hmm. we have to test all these different things to try to pick out what's your lowest hanging fruit. So then we can then make a plan to address these issues.
Yeah.
We're not guessing yeah. anymore. We actually know what's going to probably move the needle the most and the quickest for you.
I think that's the most powerful thing we do is actually the assessment. Mm-hmm. Really taking people through this big test. I always tell people it's going to be probably the most comprehensive physical, like a musculoskeletal physical that you'll ever have in your life.
Yeah.
Because we're literally, like Jeff said, looking at flexibility, mobility, strength, functional body control, and power and speed through your whole body.
So let's say you have 100 people come in. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest area of improvement that most people need to make? Is it flexibility? Is it mobility? Is it everything? I mean, everything's probably going to be
everybody has
answer,
asked that question, yeah. and it's so different for everybody yeah. that comes in. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Flexibility is a huge problem.
Where are you in your life? I mean, older gentlemen or women are going to probably lack the flexibility more. Our youth is probably going to lack the strength a lot more. Generalizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super generalizing, but yeah.
Right.
And you can also kind of categorize by career. You know, so if I'm on the phone doing an intake call and someone's like, hey, I'm an accountant. I've been an accountant for 35 years. Well, I know, like, I'd bet tons of money on the fact that they have tight hip flexors, mm-hmm. weak low back, yeah. inactive glutes. You know, you can kind of start yeah. categorizing people's bodies based on just their job. So the environmental factors that people put on their bodies creates a lot of limitations. And I think as you go through life and you do the same thing over and over and over again, it just makes that worse.
But as a general rule, so like one of the things I've been thinking about too a lot as I'm getting older, it's just like sad to say, is like, if I'm not physically healthy, like I can't play golf, right? And so, something I know I'm vulnerable to, like just from playing sports growing up, catching through college, like knee issues, hip issues, low back issues, like how much of this journey is like injury prevention? Like, as in like, invest in this so you can enjoy golf, right? Like period. Right. Cause you see these guys, like everybody seems to come down with something in their 50s or 60s, whether it's like a knee replacement or a shoulder. I mean, how many guys at Windsong have just gone out for a year?
I feel like everybody's gotten a hip replacement like crazy. In the last 2 years.
Yeah. And then how much of it is so injury prevention and how much of it is like performance enhancement, or are you able to kind of kill two birds with one stone in the work that you guys do?
You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Kill two birds with one stone with
get two birds stoned at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to what you were talking about, you're talking about the pie chart earlier, like how important it is. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to give a percentage per se, but swing mechanics don't matter. Equipment doesn't matter if your body's in pain and you can't even do it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And the earlier you invest in your body, the longer you get benefits longer term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell when people come in here and they've been doing some kind of program their whole life, versus the people that are trying to start now in their 50s,
mm-hmm.
makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to play at a higher level for much longer, and you're going to keep playing the game for a lot longer that you want. I mean, and you see it in pro athletes, how much LeBron's career is extended and how long Tom Brady's Definitely. Career got extended
yeah.
because people have invested in all this so much mm-hmm. more and earlier.
It's been really fun over the course of my career seeing all of these sports like doubling down on the physical side.
Yeah.
And the performance improvements are just incredible.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is like Gold's Gym versus you guys, right? So like I'm an amateur golfer and I'm like, you know what? Like I rip bicep curls at Gold's, like I get on the elliptical, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, bro, I'm a healthy guy, I'm fit. Like, what is the benefit of specializing in this area for someone's like physical health, but really diving into like the golf side of this? And, you know, why would you encourage folks to go this route if they're a golfer as their kind of baseline, you know, investment? Maybe walk me through just some of the differences between the two. You know, I print a program off online, I'm going to join Gold's and, you know,
do the program,
go do, you know, 3x10 dumbbell bench press. Like I'd love to just hear in your words, like what specialization means and why it matters for folks that like to golf.
Well, you know, ultimately efficiency, I think, is a big word that we like to throw around. We really want to be efficient with our workouts. How many people go to the gym? Like you said, you buy a program and it's not even made for you, but you go through the evaluation, we create a program that's focused on only the areas that you need help with, which is great because it gives you time to actually focus on it. Then instead of wasting time doing other exercises that aren't actually going to benefit you, you can really dial it in and make your time most efficient. Most of our clients are people who are super busy, so they need to have that time in the gym to be efficient, if you can use it to their best ability. And I think, you know, the foundation of every program is mobility and then how well you can control that mobility. And then we just build off of that. And maybe, Jeff, you want to talk about the four pillars of golf and how that relates to the programs we create.
So the four would usually roughly would go flexibility, mobility, we do strength, and then we would do
speed and power.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say mental because I need a lot of work there.
Yeah.
But you guys are psychiatrists.
Well, I guess to go back, I mean, you want to talk about that is the team approach. We're just one piece of the puzzle, right? You got your swing coach. Yep. We are, some people have a personal trainer and a physio. In our world, we are the physio and the performance coach. We're two for one deal here. Mm-hmm. That's what we also pride ourselves off is we're all healthcare practitioners that have the performance training as well.
Yeah.
And then you got the mental coach, right? So we're bringing a mental coach in a few weeks to give a talk to our juniors. So it's just having that team around you. That's what all the pros have. We're just one part of it.
That's ultimately what I really wanted to do here is give people in Minnesota the opportunity to see what it's like to work with all of the amenities that professional athletes have in the world of golf. Mm-hmm. You know, having traveled around the world and worked with all these top performing players, the resources they have available is incredible. And most of us just don't have that accessibility. So one of our goals here was essentially to do that.
That's a really cool part of the gym. I mean, there's a simulator in here with a TrackMan and like you can, you know, there's an area to push a sled like next to each other. And then, you know, there's TVs and everything you could imagine, tables for physical therapy, like kind of all in one spot, you know? So it's a super cool physical space.
So then for the listeners that, you know, may not have the time or want to put forward that commitment to really like, you know, honing in on it, you know, like Andy said, maybe like the average golfer that's listening and is like, you know, I want to change my normal gym routine to at least involve some type of mobility and flexibility type of work. But, you know, I'm not going to specialize in golf. It's not like my thing.
Right.
What are the things that they can do at the gym? Like we had this conversation about like when I go to Lifetime, he's like, you know, you're going to have access to this type of stuff, but probably not this type of stuff. And we're going to have to either modify it or kind of figure that out. And I would say to Andy's point, like at a Gold's Gym, you know, you don't have all of these things, but clearly there's got to be ways to work on some of that stuff, you know, whether it's at home or at just a normal gym. Like what does that world look like? Good.
I think that's the beautiful thing with working with us is we can personalize everything to you. So it's meeting you where you're at level wise, previous training level. And then it's also what equipment is available to you and how much time. And I mean, that's the honest question you have to have with, or conversation you have to have with yourself is how much time am I going to allot this week to work on this? And then that's where we step in and we can design a program based off all the factors that I just mentioned to make it really unique to you. And I, back to kind of what you're talking about is, or I always tell people is a little of something is adds up over time.
Yeah.
Taking 10, 15 minutes, even three times a week versus doing nothing over a year, it adds up and it makes a difference. Yeah,
I think if you're the person who has a Gold's Gym, we're getting a bunch of Gold's Gym. Are we sponsored by Gold's Gym?
No, I've never stepped foot.
Why are we ads, to be
I just
honest.
Like right. to roast box gyms like Gold sometimes.
That's fabulous. I love it. So let's say you're a golfer who's
Lifetime.
A member at Lifetime and isn't interested in buying a bunch of the toys that we have, you know, these 3D straps and rip trainers and all this, you know, med balls and all these other fun things we use here. And you just want to get into the gym. Let's say you're an athletic guy, you know, you have a history of playing sports. You love working out. This is not a new thing to you. And you're hoping to kind of dial in your workout for golf and not invest anything more into it. I'd say, you know, a lot of single leg training. Single leg glute bridges, single leg squats, lunges, Bulgarian split squats, stuff like that. Single arm strengthening too. You know, single arm chest presses, standing, single arm pulling, work into these, like landmine presses, stuff like that. Cause you really need to control your body better. So you're really getting like, you could call it a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1 or whatever. You're developing balance, functional body control and strength at the same time. And you're learning how to interact with the ground, or if it's an upper body exercise, you're really learning how to work with that piece of equipment to control it. And that's really what we're doing in golf, is we're working with the ground and we're holding a stick and we're manipulating that to try to hit a ball. So you're basically developing that fundamental foundational skill set. And so if you have nothing else to do and you just want to modify a fitness program for a box gym, just walk in and go. That'd probably be the answer to your question.
I was going to say too, the assessment, I noticed we did a ton of like balance work, whether it was single leg, both leg, or like, you know, jumping off of stuff down to the ground to
controlling it.
And then controlling it. And so like, you know, I don't know. I think you have Andy's, you know, assessment.
Yeah. I was going to get into that. I do think like your point about the assessment, like at a minimum, you know, I think there's a lot of value in that. I kind of want to get into mine. I mean, cause if you think about like any other aspect of golf, like, you know, if you're like, hey, I'm really struggling with like course management, you know, like, we've advocated for like people to use Decade, which is like a data driven approach and like track your stats and your round. And ultimately what it does is it gives you an inventory of like your strokes gained and across a bunch of areas. And you can like objectively look and be like, I'm not good at putting, like, or objectively look and be like, you know, my approach play, like I need to work on this and there's ROI on that for me. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if you go and get fit for golf clubs, like, and you're spinning the driver 4,000 RPM, the fitter's going to be like, you've got a problem. You're spinning the driver 4,000 RPM. Right. And you know, I don't think people approach their bodies that way. Like, at least I have never thought of like, I need to kind of understand like what my weaknesses are. And, you know, I know that about every other part of my game, but like, hey, when I'm not playing well, or, you know, I've even noticed as I'm getting older, like the variability in my body, like day to day, right? Like one day I feel amazing and like I play better, the next day I don't. And, you know, I think there's, my point of this is like, I think there's value to knowing the information, and it's very unlike other aspects of golf where you really cannot self-diagnose, right? Like you need to come see a professional. These guys have certifications out the wazoo. Like Jordan and I went through like an hour plus of like testing. Like this was not not a small like process.
Well,
you know?
You guys went through the shorter, like.
Yeah, we went through like the short ones.
So we could get it in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And would you like to go through that?
Yeah, I'd love to see like, yeah, you know, what or
we should talk about Andy's assessment and just kind of break it down, because the other thing I remembered when we did this was that I would say generally speaking, Andy and I's game, like, it's no two golfers are going to be the same, but I think generally speaking our strengths, weaknesses and a lot of our game are very similar. Would you agree?
Jordan's pulling away pretty significantly. Andy's regressing.
Generally speaking, Andy and I's games are very similar. I don't think our assessments could have been like more different from what I remember.
Very much opposite.
They were very, very opposite. And so it's like just thinking about that in terms of like game and then assessment and then figuring out the areas we need to work on, because clearly we're making, you know, sacrifices in certain components of our body and game to like get to where we're at. Mm. That's kind of what it would be fun to dive into.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So we took you guys through what we call a TPI evaluation. So the Titleist Performance Institute, man, probably 16, maybe 20 years ago, came out with an evaluation to perform on golfers to get a general assessment of their fitness and then help write programming from it. And it's a very, we, we have it as part of a part of our total evaluation now. And I'd say what maybe comprises like a quarter probably of the total eval. So we use this as a functional assessment tool, and a functional assessment tool to us basically means is how well can our golfers technically control their body. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit like a brain game. Your brain controls your body, mm-hmm. right? It's a huge coordination center. And so how well can this person control a part of their body all by itself without having other parts of the body engaged at the same time? And so we go through a series of these tests. The first one was a toe touch test, which is general hamstring flexibility. And you were 12 inches from the ground. I'm just looking at the sheet, and I got to be honest, we did this a while ago, yeah. and I'm kind of like forgotten. Yeah. Yeah, 12 inches is, what do you think, Jeff? Is that?
That's probably not close to it.
You can say it.
Yeah. My kids might say hard fail.
Yeah, it's a hard fail.
It's a hard fail.
D minus?
Yeah. No.
And I think mine, I was touching my palms.
Yeah, his palms.
Were elbows on the ground or palms?
I think it was palms. Palms. But I do palms. I have monkey arms. Yeah. Like my arms, yeah. Andy makes fun of me when I do.
Yeah. And that also goes into a little bit. Sometimes it is a hamstring restriction there. Right. But also, it's what it's torso length, leg length can make.
Yeah, but I could probably just stretch my hamstrings a little bit and maybe unleash a lot.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Well, so getting back to something you said earlier, you know, you really. If you have tight hamstrings are going to be pulling on your back and your pelvis. It's going to lead to inhibition of the back muscles. It can lead to breakdown of your back.
Yeah.
Lead to back pain, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Which is also, what I have.
Yeah. Yeah. And when your hamstrings are at their maxed out length and you're trying to perform physically, you generally don't perform super well.
Yeah.
Your muscles like to be in the middle space, right? So they love being in the middle. And if you're at the end of the range of motion, mm-hmm. they're going to be a little weaker. They're going to be a little slower. So it's really important for those reasons to try to stretch the hammies out.
Yep.
And, you know, specifically getting into a good stable address position, it's nice to have flexible hamstrings mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from a functional golfer's perspective.
Yeah. That's another thing that's interesting is I notice a lot of variability in my setup. It's like one day it looks like this, the next day it looks like that. And it's like, oh, well, I wonder if that has to do with my hamstrings, you know,
And then daily hamstring stretching program.
Yeah.
Hopefully see some consistency. Yep. Consistency with
that. Get you in the Norbatec boots.
Yeah, I have those.
An hour, stretch the hamstrings, and you'll be a scratch.
Adding a proper warm-up.
Yep.
Yeah. Try to get you back to that status quo by doing that.
Yeah.
Especially if you played the day before, you're going to feel tighter, stiffer the following day.
Yeah. So super that's interesting.
Why we always preach in.
Multi-day warm-up. Tournaments can be killer for guys that have jobs and
anything
stuff.
Anything else jump off the page at you?
Well, one thing I wanted to say is always kind of interesting is guys will come in and they'll brag about how tight their hamstrings are.
Uh-huh.
You know, be like, oh my God, you'll never see tighter hamstrings than me. And then you do the test and they have full hamstring mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a massive red flag for super weak hamstrings.
Oh, really?
So the human body will literally not let them bend over because they'll probably fall over. So they're not strong enough to support their upper body when they go to touch your toes. So it's something that we try to figure out with the evaluation is, are they actually tight? Or are they just super weak from sitting at a desk all day and not
mine
really
are tight. My hamstrings are stacked, bro.
Yeah, they look huge.
They're strong.
And something we didn't do with you was our hands-on part of the evaluation. Yeah. So that's where we put someone on the table, take their leg all the way up and straight leg. And that would give us a bigger picture is a passive range of motion problem versus an active mobility problem. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
I love that you said that, Jeff, because that's really what we use the evaluation for is truly just diagnosing why these things are happening. Mm-hmm. So the functional test from TPI, we see, this person's restricted. They're not moving super great, but then we actually have to figure out why. And the rest of that evaluation is all about the why. And then that's how we build our programming and we're essentially trying to fix the whys.
Mm-hmm.
So then what were one or two other like red flags? And then what was Andy elite at?
Well, his overhead squat was glorious.
Mm.
I mean, it was perfect textbook. We don't see that a lot, do we, Jeff?
No, that's probably one of the biggest
And with tight hamstrings, how's that work? Wouldn't you think you wouldn't be able to get as much depth in a straight back doing an overhead squat? Or am I way off?
Why don't you take over the overhead squat, Jeff?
Well, there's many components of the overhead squat that we look at.
It's a complicated test. Yeah.
It teases out ankle mobility. It's going to tease out your upper back mobility as well. So when you go down, some people might they'll come up onto their toes because they don't have the good ankle range of motion. Mm-hmm. If they can't keep their shoulders all the way back up, because the rule is we have to keep the club right above their head.
Yeah, I came on my toes. I don't think mine was.
Yeah,
as good.
I think we were looking at your ankles a little bit more, Jeff.
And he has a history of a left ankle sprain.
Yep.
When he came in for his follow up, he struggled more on his left side when we did single leg stuff than he did on his right side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it also just kind of tells a bigger picture of why someone might move this way.
Hip mobility comes into that squat test too.
As well.
Yeah.
It's huge in that one.
So if you have tight hips, you're not going to get down as low as you need to. Yeah. Low back strength, hip mobility, upper back strength. There's a lot going into
and
that test.
So those are flexibility, mobility, and then like some of the strength stuff that we did was super fun. Like I could have sat here and thrown medicine balls all day. Like it was really cool for you to explain, you know, seeing, I think you explained it, seeing some of the elite longest ball hitters, you know, how far they throw the med ball and stuff. Have you talked about like the power components and the things we do with the dumbbells and kind of talk about Andy and I and how we relate to some of the, you know, people that you see that come in here that do have, you know, that strength in their game.
Yeah. Well, so it looks like we had 18. Is that an 18 on that sheet? Looks like an 18 on this one.
My handwriting, sorry. Chicken scratch.
We struggle with that a little bit. So, you know, tour averages are what, 22 feet for chest pass, overhead throw, vertical jump?
Roughly, yeah, 22 roughly. Inches.
And, well, and to give the listeners a visual, right? So the chest pass was, how heavy is that medicine ball?
Men, we use 8 pounds.
8 pound ball.
And then women, we use
8 pound medicine ball. So we were basically lying on our back like we're about to do an abdominal crunch. And then you, as you come up, you throw the medicine ball from your chest as far as you can out.
Yeah, you're kind of like a big, like a big catapult, really. So the sit up and throw, you're laying on your back, your arms over your head.
Yeah.
And you just launch that ball as far as you can.
And so PGA Tour average is 22 feet.
Yeah.
And Andy was 18.
Yeah, pretty close actually. Yeah. A lot of our guys will show up with like 8 feet. You know, they're just, they don't have the abdominal power and the power to make it work.
You're elite.
Yep.
Yeah, but you got like 20, you got like long drive numbers.
You did, yeah.
I wasn't
so
getting
that was like what was super interesting
to
me.
Tour average though. And then you were hitting the ball further than me.
No. That was what was interesting is like when we looked at our tests or whatever, like Jordan from an athletic standpoint, like explosiveness, his flexibility, he's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, and I think where you struggled a little bit, Andy, was with that lateral bounding at 4 feet.
Yeah. I was really having trouble like exploding out and moving in that direction. We were talking about the like you should hit it like 50 yards past me. But like I use the ground like very well. I know that. It's like intuitive for me how to like get into the ground and use the ground. And like I do think I kind of am pretty efficient with my move. I think I could physically probably work harder and get more like make the tank bigger, but like Jordan could do, but like he doesn't like, you know, you've gotten longer in the last like month or so.
I still early extend. I don't use the ground to get on my toes.
So that was just like really interesting. It's just like learning about like, oh, like I don't know how I hit it 330. Like I'm a very average athlete, like at 35. But obviously like I'm doing something right in my golf swing and, you know, same and kind of like Jordan, it's like, yeah, he hits it, you know, as far as me now or, you know, can hit it past me, but like physically he's quite a bit more explosive. So
yeah, and I think we saw that in the force plate assessment as well.
Yeah.
I think your force plate signature was really good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
And then I think Jordan, you were strong.
That was bad. So let's talk about force plates too, because one, it's something that I think generally the golf world is seeing more of now. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen force plate stuff come up. I think it's also, you know, when you talk to any like golf swing coach, the number one thing with amateurs is early extension, right? Like coming to the top, getting on your toes, losing your balance, like that's what early extension is. And so like the force plate stuff that you guys had was showing how well you used the ground. And you can talk a little bit more about the numbers, but like when Andy and I went, mine, like I would have graded it like a C minus at best. And Andy was like a B plus, A minus for how well he used the ground.
Yeah.
To Andy's point, the ball was going very similar distances.
Right.
Right. So maybe talk about like the force plate and what that shows you all and how you.
Why don't you take this one, Jeff? Because I love listening to you describe the force plate.
So
it's like golf nerding out here. Yeah.
So I guess the first thing is we use the force plates probably a little differently than a swing coach might. They can use that a lot, especially for like early extension. Are you pushing into your feet the proper way to get the anterior posterior movement force, your lateral force, and all that kind of stuff? Here we have 1D plates. So that's another thing to note is there's 3D plates out there that look at vertical force, there's lateral force, and then there's your rotational, your anterior to posterior force. So we have ours just looks at vertical. And so what we are looking to here from a fitness standpoint is trying to see how much that vertical force you can create. And so the three things that we really look at are at what time does the peak force happen?
Mm-hmm.
Because many people, they don't shift to their left side early enough. So if they do that, then the force they generate from their legs is never going to get there in time, get to the club in time to actually have an effect on the ball.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at when does this peak force happen? And then we're going to look at what is the magnitude of this force. All right. So our plates, when you step on, lay you out. So it knows it's if you stay perfectly still, it's 100%. And then during your swing, when you push into the ground, there's an equal opposite reaction from the ground. And it's going to measure how much of that force that you push down. And there's a threshold for amateur golfers that we want to see them create about 165% of their body weight when they do it combined between the front and their back leg. But most of it's going to be that front leg when we shift over to the left side. PGA pros are about 195%, and they talk about the long ball hitters are getting somewhere in the 200s.
Yeah, and we've had a few junior athletes get into the 220s, 230s.
Yeah. Some of the golfer guys as well got into that. And then the third thing we look at is the spike, and we want that spike to be rapidly up and then right back down. We don't want it drawn out.
Yeah.
So if you saw, if you read the graph, it's not this wide bump in the graph, it's a straight spike.
That was the difference kind of between Jordan and I. Yeah. So Jordan was kind of rolling onto his left side. And he's getting onto his left side, but kind of like passively.
Yeah, I would call it like a sway.
Yeah.
And yours was more of a...
Mine was like, I'm pushing out of the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to teach that with a lot of lower body plyometrics and have some great success. It's been a really... I don't know, like a transformative year. We got the first place about a year ago. And for me, it was just trying to validate what I've been doing for 15 years, trying to actually see the results of all these little ideas that I've had. And since we've been building the team here, there's four of us now, and we're always coming up with new and exciting exercises to help people connect with the ground better. Mm-hmm.
And more objective data just to see that it's working too.
I was going to say there's that, but then like, you know, call it as a consumer myself, like maybe a listener that comes in, does an assessment, right? And then maybe like does what I did and get like a little program.
Yeah.
How do you effectively figure out the benefits that it's made, right? Because like for what we're talking about, it's really hard, you know, to Andy's point earlier, like when you golf, you get to see your scores drop.
Yeah.
Right. But when it comes to physical fitness, you know, like in the gym, your bench press can go up, right? Like you can rep 225 instead of one, you get to do it six times. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm getting it. When it comes to kind of to this stuff, and we're talking about like mobility and flexibility, you know, how are you all and what you do looking for when people come in multiple times? I mean, I know my personal journey, I feel like it took me a year to see any movement in my hips, but it was getting there slowly but surely. It just took a longer time to see it. Yeah. And so like when you have people come in, how do you like assure them after, you know, 3 weeks, it feels like they've done nothing, but all of a sudden they can actually, you know, get from here to here, that that's actually a big change.
A lot of times there's reassessing as we go, you know, so during a session, you can see the improvement. You know, it's fun. It's fun to see people's eyes light up and like, oh my God, a month ago, I couldn't do that. Like, please check it out, man. That's amazing.
Like Andy would go from 12 inches to six inches or maybe touching the floor or something like that.
Or, you know, we really try hard to objectify a lot of the things we do here. So we just bought a radar gun simply for tracking the speed of the med ball throw.
Sweet.
You know, love that. So we weren't satisfied with
this. Would you get a Jugs?
We got a Bush Nosh.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, we weren't satisfied with distance. We're like, no way, man. I think we need to see speed out of this.
That's sweet. That's really cool.
And it's a great training tool. Because it's all about, we're doing power training, is creating max intent.
Right.
Now, every time you throw it, it's 18 miles an hour.
Yeah. Come on, give me 19.
Beat it.
Give me 19.
And then now you got the competitiveness comes in.
Yeah.
Now it's a training tool as well.
Who's going to like buy a radar gun at home? Like, you can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the nice part about like being a part of this place is like, you guys are already doing all that
investing
stuff.
Slide boards. I mean, I've literally bought so much stuff for like one client.
Yeah.
I'll be working with one client and be like, dang it, I need a slide board. I'll go out and spend a grand on a slide board for one person.
Like, I'm underwater on
this
client.
This is what I wish that my garage looked like, because my garage basically has every training aid you've ever seen on Instagram. Ever.
Yeah.
It's just sitting in my garage.
I love it.
You know, one of the things that like we get a lot of guys that like we're friends with or whatever, and they reach out to us because we have a golf podcast to ask us about like, oh, how do I get better or whatever? And I don't think either of us are the authority on getting better. But most of my buddies that are like newer to the game, I just ask them like, how far are you hitting your driver? You know, like, because I think like a lot of guys will be like, you know, look, everybody can work on putting and definitely like hitting the ball better. But like, you know, if a guy's like, I hit my driver like 220, I'm just like, you should work on hitting your driver further because you're screwed if you hit your driver 220. Like, you're just not going to be good. Right. I mean, that's just like the reality. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be good. Like, statistically, you're not. It's way too hard to hit greens from that far out. Like, everything in the game gets better. Like, your scores come down. Everything gets better if you can hit the driver further. What do you think the average, like, amateur is leaving on the table, like, from not tapping into, like, this physical side? I'm really curious about that. I know, like, for me, just, like, on my own, like, I did some speed training this winter and just really, like, kind of more central nervous stuff, but, like, just max effort and trying to get my speed up naturally. And I went from... I got it up, you know, from, you know, kind of 110 to, I got up to like 120 max. Yeah. And that was just like on my own, like not doing exercises, just speed training. Really curious. Like,
is that with a driver or is that with a speed stick? Or
with a driver. With
a driver.
That's yeah, really nice. I got my
hitting
ball
a ball
speed,
or no ball?
Hitting a ball. I got my ball speed up to like 175, 176. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice work. Yeah.
That's really and that's with like a very average body. So I'm wondering like what's available.
I mean, it's a good one. It's a cliche. Yeah. It's going to be different from everyone.
Sure.
I think my goal at a minimum, if someone walks in, is to get at least 3 miles per hour with their driver, which equates to roughly 10 yards or so.
Yeah.
Now I can think of one of my clients on top of my head in 6 months, put on 10 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the best stories that I had. Mm-hmm. Another thing to kind of tie into what you were doing is many people just do the speed training and their body breaks down.
I know. I'm worried about
that. That's been the biggest challenge that I've noticed over the years too, Jeff, is that they start developing injuries.
Yeah, I had to stop and then my speed came right back down.
It's,
right?
It's so a like, very common thing I hear.
Yeah,
I
can think like of my speed's right like now. 115 now or whatever, but it's in my low, my smoother is a little quicker, which is good, but like,
when you're doing that, you're working at your almost your 100%, right?
And that's totally.
More vulnerable, like, to get hurt.
To failure and then over and over and over and over again.
So when we strength train and we do all this mobility training and power training outside of that, you're building your body's capacity up. You're building stronger tissues. Yeah. You're building a bigger motor now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your body can now handle the stress of the speed training.
That
so
makes
we
sense.
Do speed training too.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a small piece of the pie. Yeah. Because, but I think you can move the needle a lot more with the strength training, and it's going to keep you probably healthier doing so. I can think of one guy last year, hurt back doing it, came and saw us, and he's been speed training, no hurt back still.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
And I think a lot of, you know, it's been interesting being a part of this journey as long as I have, because speed training has really been sort of taken over by the concept of swinging a stick in golf. And what we've been doing here at Empower is we've been taking speed training in a little bit different approach. Mm-hmm. Swinging sticks is part of it. But it's really kind of building off that ground force. And so there's really, you've got ground force, then you've got torso speed, and you've got hand speed. And what we've been kind of working through in the last year, I would say, is treating our golfers like track athletes.
Totally.
So when you're on the tee, you're a golfer. Yep, you are a track athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping up, and you are going to put a move on that ball hard, right?
Yeah.
And you have to use every muscle in your body to do it properly. That is a track move. When you're getting into the green and you're trying to get in close to the pin, that to me is like a yard game almost. Mm-hmm. It's a highly coordinated, controlled effort. I'm going to hit my this shot kills me every time. Jeff had to witness this on Friday last week, but like 52 yard shot into the green. I'm trying so hard to learn that. That is such a highly specialized move for me.
It's skill.
It's not
it's
power
skill compared to power.
It's not power. It's like half speed.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, kills me. So, but. So we're really looking at developing golfers as more of athletes than just golfers. And I think that's a huge thing to recognize. And I've, in all my years working with golfers, I've been training college golfers, D1 golfers now, I don't know, since 2005 or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking at them, not trying to build like great physiques.
Yeah.
Because I actually don't think they need it.
Yeah.
I think what they really need is they need to be able to, they need to be able to move, and they need to be able to control the body that they have, and they need to be able to control it at high speed.
Yeah.
So I'm working at building these athletes and these, you know, yard game specialists.
Yeah. No, it's super interesting that you say that, because like for me, like I gained quite a bit of speed like over the winter on my own, and yeah, I've kind of lost it all, whatever. But like the point is, the way I did it was not by swinging a stick. Like I actually did it by swinging my golf club and hitting balls and like with a launch monitor. And it would have been really helpful to have someone that knows a lot about the body with me, really just like figuring out like what makes the club go faster. Like it sounds really simple, But it's like, you would think, like, for me, like, I found a couple feels for me that are unique to me, like, that make the club go a shitload faster, and the data is in front of me, right? And so I, like, for me, it's like, if I speed up my backswing, my swing's faster. Right. For me, if I push into my left foot as hard as I can, like, on the ground, my swing's faster. And if I, like, the last one that I got another 2 miles an hour from was, like, if I release my head through impact, which I think just stops restriction of, like, rotation, basically, right? So just if I release my head, and I was like, and it took me, like, months to basically just, because I would just trial and error and just be like, all right, I'm going to try to swing this 120, and it'd be like 110. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to do the same thing, 110. And then just different feels and trial and error. And, like, I think that's the benefit of, like, having guys like you is, like, you actually know the body, and, like, you actually know. And then if taking it even further, you know your player's strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. And so you know where to tap into that speed.
Yeah.
You know, hey, try this, or, you know, whatever. Like, I think that's very interesting. Yeah.
Everybody's looking at me.
Kind of stared at you for a second there.
Well, yeah, you guys are like, yeah, we're at 45 minutes. When are we done? Kind of to wrap up. So we're obviously going to tell people about the work that you guys do, but I thought, I mean, personally, coming in, doing an assessment, coming back in and doing a workout, and then getting a personalized workout was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, one, how can people find you? Two, you know, what's the, to Andy's point, the highest ROI in terms of what somebody can do? Is it an assessment? Is it just coming and doing, like, a workout with you guys?
I mean, I think definitely doing the assessment makes it special for you. You know, that's what makes it different. So I'd always recommend people come in and do the assessment.
And how much is an assessment?
For just, the club golfer, like, it's $200. Right? No, actually, it's an hour and a half for a club golfer. For a high performance golfer, it's 2 hours. Yeah.
So 2 hours, $200, and you're getting, like, quite frankly, the most
The
most comprehensive assessment you can get on your body for the game of golf.
Yeah, and then we sit down with people and talk about, you know, what would it look like to have the ultimate program, and does that work for you? And maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe maybe their program is a little bit more controlled, maybe it's a little shorter, maybe they want to be working on their own more. So some of our clients come in 3 days a week, some come in once a month, some come in every other month, some people we see virtually. My goal in creating this program was really born in the previous experience I had, where like people would come into that other company and I could literally only sell them one thing. It was this prepackaged thing, and if they couldn't afford it, they'd walk out with nothing, and it really drove me nuts. And so what I wanted to do with Empower is everybody that comes in to do the evaluation, we're going to figure out a way for you to walk out with a program that we can teach you and you can learn and get better at golf. I mean, really, we just want to help as many golfers as we can play the best they can and be the healthiest they can feel, and not get knocked out of the game by an injury. I mean, years ago, kind of the biggest thing for me was just like, hey, our players live their lives on the golf course, at their club, with their friends, wherever they play golf. And when they can't do it, their lives change. Mm-hmm. Going out to have breakfast with your buddies after they've all played golf haven't.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that. So first and foremost, we're trying to keep players in the game.
Sweet.
Second, we're trying to keep people playing their best. Yeah.
Season's already short enough in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to do another assessment at some point. We'll come back and see if Andy can touch the ground. We'll see.
I'll work on it.
See if I can actually use the ground with my feet. And we appreciate you guys, you know, making some time. It was awesome to come here.
Thanks so much, fellas. This was great.
For our first ever call it Road Show. Can't wait to see you Wintong again.
Yeah. Well, I really had fun having you here. It was really fun. The 45 minutes flew by, first of all.
Oh, it always does. Wow. Yeah. Doesn't it blow your mind?
Yes, totally did.
I know. You sit down and you're shocked. Like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I had one go like an hour 40 one time. I looked down. I was like, oh my God. And I like forgot half the video. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It's fine. Keep the audio. The podcast. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks.